sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Girl, I know it's been hard since he went away and left you so sad you cry every day. Let me kiss your tears, erase all your doubts, because for me, I'm here. Because for you, I'm here. You won't be without love. Listen, baby. Don't need a man that'll give you money. Mm-mm. Come on, let me show you just what you need, honey. I got what you need. Don't need a man that'll treat you funny. You need a man with sensitivity. A man like me. Someone who can love you. Someone who can need you. Someone who will treat... You know what? That shit was cool. All right. Hey, welcome, bienvenue, to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, I want to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City and Much Music. This episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 26, 2023. What is it? 6:27 p.m. Yeah, we're off to a little late start. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. All right. I got a, not excuses, but I've got a full transparency. I'm, let's put it this way, right? If I was my own co-host, if me, Be Black, and if I was co-hosting with myself, I'd be telling you that right now the marriage is in we're going through some things, man. We're going through some, there's like a lot of negative energy inside of me, but the kind of negative energy that wants to make me want to fight with myself. I'm kind of beef with myself. That's what I'm trying to say. And as a result of this internal conflict, this might be a bumpy ride. I'm the pilot. This is your pilot speaking, telling you that me and my co-pilot are beefing right now. And if this motherfucker won't stop fucking snoring when he sleeps, I might crash this fucking plane. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. But this is show business. That's not any of your problem. But I just felt the need to acknowledge the fact that my chakra or whatever the fuck, I'm struggling with inner peace right now. And I'll get to it in final thoughts. Yes, I guess I have this habit of being hard on myself, but it's anyway. We'll get to that in final thoughts. So, let's start the show. As usual, we start off with intro. I guess this is the intro. Yeah, this is the intro. So sorry, let me start the timer. I'm drinking this shit called Relax. I'm trying to relax, and this motherfucker's Rise Botanicals. Zero sugar, whatever. But the taste is awful, man. I'm about to throw it. Hold on. I'm trying again. Hold on. Let me give it one more shot.
Okay, I'm going to chug it. Just a little bit left. But I'm going to hate myself for it. Hold on. All right, here's hoping it improves. It's not a substitution for liquor. It's not liquor, but I'm trying to drink, like, healthy shit. And someone said it was in the same section as kombucha. And I am reading the label, and it's not kombucha. Anyway, whatever, man. All I know is I bought it on Friday, and I've been trying to drink this shit, but the taste is awful. But here we are. Right, that was not an endorsement. That was a reverse of a commercial. But all right, okay, introduction. Let me run through this shit. In the introduction, I like to go through some shit that has happened or that I need to acknowledge for this week. For example, let's start with, last episode, I shouted out a podcast, BFF, Black Fat Fam podcast, and two individuals who I like Black Fat. Okay, long story short is what I like is there's a reoccurring theme of yo, take all the space that you want, and there's a quote that I forgot that I mentioned in the last episode that I forgot to put in the show notes, but I'll put it in this one. But I feel the need to repeat it again, and they were just and the quote is by Zora Neale Hurston, and it goes, if you are silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. Let that motherfucker marinate. They'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. And I know what that's about, but I remember this is also me plugging episode 063. I always forget the title. It's a French title. Plus from the R&B artist called Holy shit, off topic, right? Anyways, all I know is by the end of the episode, after publishing it, I'm thinking of making another episode, and the title will be related to the idea of how I'm a 6'1", 300-pound black man, and I'm scared to take space. I want you to let that shit marinate, right? Like, you know, big fat guy, and I've always been a big person, but I've always hated being noticed. I've always, anyways, taking space, and I'm working on that. All right, okay, let's run down through what I usually do in the intro. You know what? I might change this shit, because there's a lot of birthdays in March, a lot of RIPs, and albums, movies that came out, and it's getting hard to track, man. But here we go. Well, for now, we'll stick to it. So, happy 70th birthday to Grammy Award-winning singer Chaka Khan, Yvette Marie. March 23rd was her birthday. This showed up on my timeline. I didn't know this, but she used to be. So shout out to somebody I follow on Twitter, African and Black History. And they mentioned how at 16, Yvette Stevens joined the Black Panther Party. She was responsible for selling Black Panther newspapers and helping start the free breakfast program for children. You might know her by another name, Chaka Khan. And powerful, powerful. So happy birthday. I thought if you joined the Black Panther, you were blacklisted forever by white folks. But here we are. Whatever. She's a celebrity. Good for her. Who else is there? Happy birthday to the late Aretha Franklin. Her birthday was on March 25th, 1942. She passed away on August 15th, 2018. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. On the RIP list, we remember March 22nd, 2016, RIP Fife Dawg, Mr. I Love Him Brown, Yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Contributing member of the Tribe Called Quest. Thank you for your music. R.I.P. Eazy-E, September 7th. He was born on September 7th, 1964, but he passed away on March 26th, 1995. In terms of releases this week, Diplomatic Immunity by The Diplomat. Yo, that album was actually, the production, the rhyme I wasn't a big fan of, but the production on that album was, like, solid. So March 25th, 2003. Above the Rim, the movie, was released on March 22nd, 1994. And here's the thing, you know, big Pac fan, but not his strongest, not his, you know, I'm just going to say that I was more of a fan of the soundtrack to Above the Rim than I was of the actual movie. When the soundtrack came out, all of us in high school had that shit, that tape, CD, whatever, on repeat, man. It was a dope ass soundtrack. You could have made a whole party off that soundtrack. And last but not least, Bell Biv DeVoe released the debut album of Poison on March 20th. Actually, you know what? I forgot to add to the show notes. Biggie Smalls. Let me just confirm. Biggie Smalls. That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to his discography. Discography. Ready to Die album. No, Life After Death album, 1997. And that was released on March 25th, 1997. All right, yeah. So I feel the need to acknowledge that, man. It was a double CD, dope-ass album. Niggas Bleed Like Us. No. Anyways, a lot of dope tracks on that album, especially Your Daughter's Tied Up in a Brooklyn Basement. If you've probably heard me talk about Biggie on his death anniversary, listening to Biggie makes me fantasize about being a mean person. But that's why would you speak about Biggie? But that's here. That's not here or there, whatever that expression is. But okay, all right, here we go. Boom, stop the timer. Okay, we are getting into... Oh, look at me, man. Okay, I'm just a little happy that I was efficient with my time. But now, let's switch gears to act two of this podcast, which I like to call News and Random Thoughts. So, here we go. Woo! Hey, you know what I just realized? That the sound in my headphones is not an accurate representation of the sound that you hear. So, I just noticed that when I'm playing a TikTok video, the audio doesn't sound too good in my headphones. So what does that have to do with you? But it's something I need to work on. I just need to work on. All right, so first item I had on my rundown sheet is, well, first of all, let me put so I don't forget. I have a bad habit of saying it's going to be in my show notes, and I don't put it in the show notes. So I'm reminding myself, Life After Death, okay? And I forgot to set the timer on. Boom. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm not gonna make a long speech about how 20 minutes is a lot of time. 20 minutes is how much I allocate for this segment. And I am remember I was talking about internal war, B Black versus B Black, and the other B Black is mad at this B Black's inability of efficiently using time. Again, there's a thing, there's a war in myself, is I'll make a mistake or I'll predict a mistake, I'll anticipate a mistake in the future, and B-Black will just go at, I know it sounds weird, but this message is not for people who are like, you just sound weird. This is for the people who can relate to what the fuck I'm talking about. When you are like at war with the self, and part of the war is just out of this habit of just punishing yourself for making mistakes, or punishing yourself because you know you're going to make a mistake. And I'm kind of hoping by the end of this episode I feel better. Like this is the juke to the system. But here we are. All right. 20 minutes is a lot of time. All right. First item. News item. Okay, this just hit me last night. And I'm going to file this under I hope this shit ain't true. And basically, there's a news TMZ reports that Jonathan Majors was arrested in New York City this weekend. And according to the police, he's being accused of putting hands on a woman. But John's team is calling BS. That's interesting. That is interesting. Is this like another Pac situation being accused of? Well, I don't know if it's true, but anyway, whatever. Law enforcement source tell us that actor was booked Saturday morning on charges of strangulation, assault, and harassment. We're told cops responded to a call for service around 11 a.m. Eastern Time near the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. Yo, does TMZ write their article for in a simple way so dumb people like me can... like, I'm impressed how well I went through that. I was able to read that. And whatever. Okay. Is it the font? Is it the size? Okay, whatever. We're told the alleged victim in this case, a female, relayed to police that Major had gotten into a dispute with her and proceeded to attack her. Their exact relationship is unknown. Our sources tell us the alleged victim had visible injuries, including laceration behind her ear, redness to the look. Man, this is like a bad day for hearing this news. Is some disappointing shit. Like, I don't know how. Like, his people say it's BS, but of course, like, I'm trying to imagine being in Jonathan Major's situation. Let's say he's the authentic brother that he made himself out to be, and so much going for him. But what the fuck? I mean, I guess if you were beating your girl, if this is something he's been doing, then it'd be one of those behaviors that he would ignore, not bother trying to correct. But if this is like some kind of, let me put it this way. Anyone who knows me, I'm not the violent type. I act like I'm the violent type. I pretend to be the violent type, but that's just, you know, because I'm trying to be black and intimidating. But I'm trying to imagine. Let's pretend this podcast is doing very well, changing lives and all kinds of shit. And then next thing you know, you get hit with a headline about how I hit some girl. This exact headline. What I'm getting at is, if it is BS, how the fuck? I guess I need to know the details. Okay, I promised myself I wasn't going to linger on this article. I'm just acknowledging it, that it's in the news. I'm acknowledging my feelings I'm telling myself, I hope it ain't true, but you know, apparently she's got marks on her arm. Wait, okay, hold on. 5:30. Okay, latest update. A judge released Majors without bail. Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, he's got a good lawyer. At the Saturday night arraignment in Manhattan Criminal Court, prosecutors charged the actor with misdemeanor assault. So he did hit. Aggravated harassment, attempted assault, and harassment. Major is due back in court in May. Look, you know what? I don't have any experience with being falsely accused of something. I guess that's really what I was trying to get at. But on the other, like, you can hear by my voice that I'm really hope this shit ain't true. But then again, anytime a woman gets violated and the news comes out, we all wish, that, oh, please, please let it be that some chick made up this story and whatever. But I think the moral of the story is don't love anyone and you'll never be disappointed. And the other thing too is just because in the last episode, I was just talking about how Jonathan Major was just talking about his definition of masculinity, and he was saying shit that I was. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop there. I'm talking too much. Just disappointed. I'll leave it at that. Please say it ain't so. All right, so what else happened this week? Okay, TikTok. TikTok is in the news. The CEO of TikTok was, I'm going to call that shit a witch hunt, was, hold on, let me see the transcript.
From the New York Times, I'm Sabrina Tavernisi, and this is The Daily.
Holy fuck, that scared the shit out of me. Sorry about that. Woohoo! There was a big, I was trying to find how to stop this fucking video and whatever. Let me write. I'm trying to act like I'm a journalist here. TikTok. CEO. Rapper, producer, CEO. Zhu Zichu. How do you pronounce that? I think I did that. Shu, Shou. En français, c'est Shu Zichu. Anyways, yeah. 1983, Singaporean. Oh, it's from Singapore. I'm from Singapore. Businessman and entrepreneur who was served. Long story short is The Daily had a news story about Shu Si Chu and Hot Man. He's just a businessman. Like all of them trying to, and him coming out with TikTok is just his attempt to just play with the big boys. And look, all I'm going to say is this TikTok story is a little complicated, right? Because on the front end, on the one end, I'm thinking about, yo, this brother's just trying to make it for himself. He's just trying to be another Bezos, another Elon Musk. And but the white man is trying to hold him back. That's on face value, that's how it looks like to me. He's just trying to play with it. He's just trying to be a successful entrepreneur. But because he's Chinese, it's, well, he's from Singapore. But because he, because of a rumor of the Chinese government saying, hey, we want access to your data. Like, there's been a witch hunt this week. And I've been watching a few clips. I'm not going to play all of them, but like, okay, so let's say there's been like there's a witch hunt going up. Like, so he's in front of Congress, and I guess he's defending TikTok. And the Republicans been going at him and saying, you know, like one example I have is her name is Republican Representative. This is on Newsmax, right? I'm going to see if I can capture this tone with a small clip. But her name is Republican Kat Kamut. And listen to the way this woman, Congresswoman, speaks to the CEO of TikTok, right?
House Energy and Commerce Committee on March 23rd of this year. This video was posted before this hearing was publicly noticed. I think that's a very interesting point to raise. But more concerning is the fact that it names this chairwoman by name. Your own community guidelines state that you have a firm stance against enabling violence on or off TikTok. Mm. We do not allow people to use our platform to threaten or incite violence or to promote violent extremist organizations, individuals, or acts. When there is a threat to public safety or an account is used to promote or glorify off-platform...
You know what? Okay. I'm not going to promote the negative. I'm going to go with the, this negative. But the point is, the way these folks, these white folks are talking to this dude, especially this one in particular, she's talking like homeboy, like he's a fucking waiter who fucked up his order. And basically she makes an attack. Homie answers the CEO with the fact that he goes, hey, can I refute? Can I respond? And she's like, no, you can't. Well, how did she say the actual wording? She said,
of this committee or the 150 million users of your app, because it is an extension of the CCP. And with that, I yield back.
Can I respond, Chair?
No, we're going to move on.
Right, man. Fuck. Just the way he was like, all right, fuck it, man. I got to play by these crackers game, by these crackers rules. But I'm going somewhere with this. You know what? Okay, let me make my point. There's a lot of clip of these Republican idiots going after this dude, and this is where I'm getting at, right? Is these white folks, these Republicans, let's pretend the Chinese government is not to be trusted. Let's pretend that there's a silent war between the United States, the West, and China, right? If that's the case, these fucking Republicans are going about this shit the wrong fucking way, not the right way. Not that I'm a political expert, but one thing I can tell you is that if the Republicans, okay, I doubt it. No one trusts the Republicans to be like, hey, we are just trying to protect our children. Because them saying protect our children sounds a lot like their parents talking about, hey, we're trying to protect our children from this scourge of rock and roll. Oh, man, all they're doing is promoting TikTok. And I'm on TikTok, too, and I'm watching videos of TikTok is showing me videos about other content creators talking to, you know, other content creators speaking against the way he's being, the CEO's being interrogated, witch hunted like a witch, by these fucking Congress people who also don't fucking understand how the internet works. You know what? There's a clip of Buddy Carter. I'll let you watch it on your own. But it's just a fucking idiot, man. Clue it. But now, who I should talk about, right? What I should talk about, the one congressperson who made some kind of sense, who should be taking the lead into, like, if TikTok is this big bad monster wolf that the American government is trying to claim it is, let Congressman Yvette Clark take the lead. And I'm going to play her clip of how she goes about it, because she respects homeboy. There's like a certain respect by, Congressman Yvette Clark, is she a Democrat, or is she United States Representative? And she is a Democrat. Of course. What I'm getting at is the way she confronts him, even though she's got like some grief, right? I should also mention, because I was just thinking about when I was watching that daily podcast about, they were talking about how TikTok became this big bad wolf. Because I was just reminded that, the way that the Chinese government's treating the Uyghur group, like they're oppressing these guys, man. And one thing you should learn, anytime one group is being oppressed, your first question should be thought, what stops them from doing that shit to me? That's what, caring about the Holocaust was all about, is, okay, you don't have to care about Jewish people, but you should fucking ask the question that if these Nazis could do that shit to them, what stops them from doing it to me? And don't think you're whites, anyway, okay, I'm getting off topic. But what I'm saying is, the way Congressman Yvette Clark approaches her grief with TikTok is at least respectable and in a way that I could be down with. I'm like, yeah, whatever the sister said. And no, I'm not backing her because she's black. Well, okay. Not only because she's black. Okay, being black does help. But the fact that she's making some sense, like she's not Candace Owens following her Republican idiots and being like, yeah, man, why are you taking your Chinese shit and why don't you leave her country? Which, and whatever. She's making a point that I could fight for. Here we go. I'm going to play it. Here we go. All right.
Problems of social media platforms, content moderation, algorithmic discrimination, and safety are neither new nor unique to TikTok. For example, I was disturbed by reports that TikTok content moderation algorithm flagged words like black or Black Lives Matter as inappropriate content. So my first question, Mr. Chu, is do you agree?
Okay, I'm pause. I'm going to say that's actually my beef with Facebook, but we'll keep going. Here we go. Her first question is,
agree that platforms like TikTok should be subject to regular audits or transparency requirements to identify whether policies have a disparate impact on communities that are protected classes, like race, religion, national origin, or gender?
I think, Congresswoman, I think platforms should be very transparent. You can come and say whatever you want, as long as you don't violate the rules of safety that were put in place.
It is vital that the diverse culture of the United States is reflected online, but I'm concerned the algorithms and content moderation practices employed by TikTok are ignorant to the fundamental diversity while also failing to remove content that is harmful. My next question to you is, it's my understanding that users must be in good standing to be eligible for compensation from TikTok's Creator Fund. For example, they can't have violated community guidelines. Is this correct?
There are some details there, but directionally, yes.
If TikTok's algorithm is flagging content incorrectly, resulting in creators violating community guidelines when in fact they have not, those creators would not be eligible to receive compensation under the Creator Fund, correct?
We do have an appeals process.
You have an appeals process, okay. Yes. In my view, if TikTok employs algorithms that disproportionately misremove content from Black creators, it disproportionately silences and excludes Black creators from compensation opportunities. And this problem happens in parallel to the lack of adequate recognition, attribution, and compensation to Black creatives for their content. The exploitation, cultural misappropriations, the erasure of Black creatives' ownership of their fashion, art, and media is nothing new. We need transparency, accountability, and bold action to mitigate against misinformation, bias, and exclusion of certain communities from the opportunities present on platforms like TikTok.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Sure, I could have played the last 10 seconds, but whatever. My point is, what I saw there, I felt like two human beings, two professionals speaking to each other. That's what I'm getting at. I get the feeling that Mr. Chu is taking this shit seriously because, like I said, maybe he doesn't like, I don't know. It's not about loving black folks, but he does want to beat TikTok to go to the next level. He just wants it to, he's trying to be a businessman. He's trying to be a successful CEO. He's trying to be he knows that in order for him to get to the next level, he needs to take this shit seriously, this concern seriously. And the other thing, too, is this is not the first time that I hear about black content creators talking about how they're being shitted on by TikTok. And I'll tell you this. I'm looking at this man. Okay, I don't know him personally, but I get the feeling, I have the sense, and this is what's important. I have the sense that he's taking this shit seriously. Did I mention about how TikTok shows a lot of woke shit? When I say woke, I mean conscious shit, like education. Like when KRS-One says, you must learn, there's a lot of like historians or people who read books about history who share that kind of information, a lot about, you know, about black history and just shit I didn't think existed on the internet. Oh, I mean, I knew it existed on the internet, but the way it's a great place to find information. I mean, I guess you could do it on YouTube, but I'm grateful for the great content I've been able to find on TikTok, which is why I'm a big supporter. I kind of want to see this dude win. I think that's where this is where all this is going. I kind of want to see this dude win. I really hope that his solution of moving his data to the United States is a compromise that will allow him to not have to share the data on his servers with the Chinese government. But granted, by moving it to the United States, now all we got to worry about is these fucking Yankees, American Yankee government, going through my fucking data and learning about how I'm into big booty hole, big booty holes, big booty holes. Yeah, I'm talking a lot. I'm supporting TikTok about all this valuable information that I'm gaining from it, but a lot of the things they do is show me a lot of videos of big booty holes, big booty holes, big booty. I guess I should say big booty girls, big booty big booty women, big booty. Okay, you know what? What kind of podcast am I trying to be? I want you to feel that I'm a respectable human being, but I need to be able to say words like big booty holes, big booty holes. All right, okay, whatever. Okay, what else did I have in the news? Okay, I'm going to run through this. This is just the headline that I just read. I was going to play it. But long story short, Trey Parker, there's a story about how Trey Parker to direct an untitled Paramount comedy from producers Kendrick Lamar and Dave Free. Trey Parker to direct. Long story short, apparently the dudes who made South Park are in talk with Kendrick Lamar to make a fucking movie about, guess what? Nat Turner, H-Rap Brown. about a black guy who dates a white woman and who later finds out that his white woman's ancestors used to own his ancestors. That's something bullshit like that. Fucking white people love movie about slavery. Anyways, I'm just, because it's Kendrick Lamar, and Kendrick Lamar is a fucking artist, literally an artist. Like, he doesn't like, he'll do shit outside of the box. He'll make decisions that I won't agree with, definitely. And so I don't want to be that guy telling Kendrick, please, you know, what not to do. Cause I think the movie's a bad idea, definitely, but I'm not Kendrick Lamar. But the worst part, even if Kendrick were to go forward with this movie, please not with those two assholes. Not those. I mean, they're funny, but fuck, white people. There's never been a take about slavery by a white person that's ever went well. That's ever, like, white people laugh their ass off, but, you know, comedy and slavery produced by these two clown-ass white people? Oh, come on, man. I mean, the closest, Django Unchained was like, I hated Django Unchained the first time around, but I watched it a second time. I liked it, but not to the point where I would tell you, where I would tell, like I would be at the barbershop standing up for it. That goes a lot for a lot of Tarantino's movies. You know, the whole N-word thing. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say is that, like, this is me. This is like the comment section right now that you're hearing is me responding to the South Park folks making a comedy about slavery. Fuck that. That touches on slavery. Nah, man, a bad idea. Shout out to Public Enemy. Like, yeah, please, Kendrick, talk to Chuck D. Of course he's not. Now, I feel like the old guy telling the young guy don't make what to do with his artistic freedom. But all I'm saying is, yeah, I have a very bad feeling about this shit. Granted, I had the same bad feeling when Nas, actually, when Nas wanted to make an album, he wanted to call it the N-word, and he ended up compromising and calling it the Untitled. Hey, I was thoroughly against that shit, but that's whatever. All right, okay. I'm going over time, but fuck it, man. Fuck it again. This is, where was I? Yeah, okay. I'm going to play this clip of, this is the last one, I promise, okay? Before we get to final thoughts, here we go. This clip of, there we go. It's called Ace of Hearts podcast and the host of the podcast, the one you're about to hear right now, is his name is Ace Metaphor. Ace Metaphor, every once in a while, he touches on the theme of dating. And his content just reminds me how much I love the idea of relationship. Not relationships, the idea of relationship. Like, I love being a spectator, talking about what he's about to bring up. But, you know, okay, let me play it, and then it'll make more sense. Here we go. All right? Passionate homeboy. Passionate brother. Here we go.
Leave me? Leave me. I can deal with a breakup. But what I cannot do is you staying in this relationship, sabotaging it. Cheat on me, abuse me, neglect me, talk to me crazy to get me to leave you. I cannot deal with that. You would rather break me than to stand up and tell me that you don't want to be with me. You would rather break me to where I can't take no more so that I leave the relationship than for you to save me and leave by yourself. How selfish is that? If you break up with me amicably, yes, will I be hurt for a month or two? Maybe 6 months. But if you cheat on me to influence me to break up with you, I'll never forget that. I remember how it felt to get cheated on for the rest of my life. I remember how it felt when you abused me for the rest of my life. You talk to me crazy, somebody I'm supposed to love, that's supposed to love me, take care of me. I'll never forget how it feels to be disrespected to that level for somebody you're vulnerable enough to give your body, your mind, and your soul to. So here you think you were helping me leave you by sabotaging this relationship, but what you are doing is handicapping my heart for the rest of my life because you're too much of a coward to walk away right now by yourself. So if you gonna leave, leave. If you want to,
there we go. This touches a little on what's up with the title, how I started with a Ralph Tremont song. But homie just reminded me, I'm gonna read what I wrote in the comic section. He goes, homie just reminded me of how much I hate that part of the relationship where neither one wants to say goodbye. But what's that line by Lauryn Hill? She says, "You let go, and I'll let go too." There's some people on this planet. There's some people who their relationship. You get into their relationship with them, and the first person to fall in love ends up being the loser, because love is like a drug that other people could take advantage of. And this is one of those things I was never taught. Like, if you're in a situation and you find yourself being with someone who likes you more than you like them, you got to savor that shit, man. You got to, or else you'll be the bad person. You'll be the villain. You're the one taking advantage of someone else's. Yo, I could talk my ass off about this content. But what he brings up is something that I can have a longer conversation about. But what he says is so true. But the part is, he says, you know, like asking the other person to leave when the reality is, nah, you're the ones who's got to like cut that shit off, because that other person, if they're a shitty human being, they're going to take advantage of the fact that you can't let go. Anyways, yeah. Power to what's his name? Yeah, it's Ace Metaphor. Ace Metaphor podcast is Ace of Heart podcast. All right. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna end. did I start this part? This segment with 20 minutes is a lot of time, and I spent 26 minutes on this segment, and because of the TikTok shit. Anyway, it is what it is. We are where we are. This is actually, it is what it is. Sorry. I'm now, you can't see this, but my co-pilot, B Black, is like pissed at me for going over by 6 minutes and 57 seconds. But that's life. All right, let's get into final thoughts. Final thought has no timer, but that's the only distinguishing feature about this segment and that segment. So here we go. All right. Okay. Three things to go over. First one is, this is a tweet that by someone I follow, and it didn't mean as much until a recent conversation I had with my therapist, and she said, the tweet by Pammy_DS. Shout out to Pammy. Anyways, yeah, thank you for your great tweets. And she says, unhealed trauma will have you rejecting healthy relationships with people that actually have your back. And the reason why this has me thinking about this one has me thinking about it is because, or the conversation I was having is how, when living in an upside down world, when trauma has you normalizing shit that you shouldn't normalize, whether it's abuse, like at the moment, okay, yeah, this leads me to the second part is, at the moment I've normalized beating myself up. And it's really, and I remember telling myself, it's not a big deal. Like, I don't think you understand when I talk about beating myself up. It's like it's abusive. It's I can't explain it. I can't verbalize it. But the I was thinking of this person was an alcoholic. This some testimony by an alcoholic, and she was saying that she didn't feel it was a big deal because she wasn't hurting no one, but she just kept her eyes shut. You know, she just felt by drinking this and just, you know, it's just. By drinking, she was only hurting her own self and being oblivious of the fact that her children or the people around her, the people who loved her, were actually affected by the fact that she was self-destructive. And part of how I've justified being cruel to myself, being mean to myself, like I act like I'm worried about the insults of other people when the truth is, ain't shit you can say to me that I haven't said to myself. But yeah, where I'm going with this is, when she said that, I remember thinking, that's the kind of the same logic that I used. When she said that, doesn't matter if I'm being abusive to myself because I'm not hurting anyone else, just myself. And yeah, I was just thinking about how that's normal, that's acceptable for me, because no one else is getting hurt except my own self. I don't know. I'm just it's rare for me to be sympathetic to my own. Like this is like I've been trying to do this, you know. There was a moment this week where I found myself saying sorry too much. Not too much, a lot. I was just in a conversation. I was, in my mind, I was being polite, and I thought I was cut off someone, and I just, oh, sorry, sorry. I just kept, sorry. People say, you know, Canadians say sorry a lot, but, no, well, you know, women say, there's a certain personality type who feels the need to constantly apologize, and that's like people who were taught, who found survival by not taking space. And one of the traits of those people who tell themselves not to take space is they say sorry a lot. It's an acknowledgement. It's like, my bad. I should have known my place. Sorry. Anyways, there was a moment where I caught myself saying, so I can hear myself. It's like, yeah, it's like the co-pilot, Be Black. My co-pilot was like hearing myself. And it was one of the rare times, maybe it's the effect of therapy, but I remember in that moment, I wasn't mad at myself. I actually wanted to cry. It was sad, but it was like, not self-pity cry, but like, oh, shit. Did I do this to you? Am I the reason why you're like this? Am I the reason why you... It's like I was apologizing to the people, but I was also apologizing. It's like, sorry, don't hit me no more. That kind of... That's how it came off like. And I remember just feeling... sad. Just sad. Not pity sad. But like, look, it was just a rare moment where my therapist has me on this thing where she wants me to acknowledge my inner child. And I remember the first time doing that, and I'm like trying to do that exercise, and I'm looking at this inner child and being like, yeah, you deserved all the beatings you got as a child. I don't know, like there was this hatred that I was unaware I had for this kid. And that's the thing is about, like on the people who grew up and said, hey, I was beaten as a child and I turned out okay. No, you're not. No, not some bullshit. I'm acknowledging that me getting beaten as a child didn't make me, I didn't understand at the time, I didn't process, oh, I'm getting beaten because I fucked up. No, I took it as, I'm getting beaten because I am fucked up. That's how my young brain processed that pain, processed what was happening to me at that time. And I think that thinking evolved into you are unworthy of any kind of love, any kind of... It created trauma. It's a trauma. Trauma, the same kind of trauma that Pammy speaks about, that unhealed trauma will have you rejecting healthy relationships with people that actually have your back. I'm just sharing that tweet just because it just had me think, reminded me of another conversation. And I'm not trying to say, yeah, trust everyone, be friends with everyone and shit like that. But I acknowledge this message. This message speaks to me. That's what I'm getting at. All right. What's up with the title? We're going to end with what's up with the title. Well, first one is, I'll be honest. It's like I'm making an excuse. At the time I did, usually when I pick a title and, something to read at the beginning of the podcast and treat like a poem, I read like a poem. It's usually a rap song. And it's funny this week. I don't know, man, fucking YouTube Music hasn't been doing it. Hasn't been inspired. Hasn't been playing anything inspiring, man. Fuck, I kind of missed Tidal because Tidal was good at introducing me to new music, and every once in a while I'd gain inspiration. But anyway, long story short is I found myself thinking of, how did this come into topic? Oh, I was, okay, yes, okay, line of thoughts. I was talking about my previous episode, and I was talking about the BFF podcast. And I was thinking about how these two individuals have, I don't know how to describe it, is these two individuals just have, you know what, fuck it, being Black Fat Fame, right? It's usually the kind of personality, the kind of, if you're in that category of human, if you're like them, you likely grew up being told, don't take any fucking space. Believing that the way I need to survive in this world is by getting out of people's way and find ways to not be what or who I am. That's what I mean. I remember thinking about that and finally finding the inspiration to acknowledge the fact that I am a highly sensitive person, HSP. I used to say hyper. I fucked up. HSP stands for highly sensitive person. And sorry, I guess I don't have the definition up. Because I played it on the last podcast. And, basically admitting it to myself and saying it out loud to the point that I finally updated my profile. I should put it on the About Us, but if you go to my Twitter profile, I have updated to say I used to say I'm a black man making sense of this thing of ours called life. Now I say I'm a black HSP making sense out of this thing we call life. And I don't want to use the word gimmick, but it's more, this is like I'm trying to create a flag. Use this podcast to create, oh, I'm not following Pusha T. Hold on, sorry. Yeah, I don't know if I have ADD, but holy fuck, I'm easily distracted. I'm trying to, in the manifesto episode of this podcast, I talk about how I'm trying to create a community, but I just haven't defined what this community is about yet. I'm still working on it, but I'm getting closer to it and acknowledging that there's a lot of, I'm kind of hoping this is like becomes a rallying point. Oh, fuck, I hate the English language. Sorry, I always say I hate the English language every time I can't pronounce something. It's really, I'm mad at my own self, but rallying. There we go.
Rallying. Rallying.
Oh my God, that's a pretty voice. Okay. The action process of coming together in support of this shit is making sorry, me and my co-pilot B Black is laughing at this moment right now. Yes, I'm trying to create a rallying point with this podcast, and I'm still working on it. And I'm realizing, I'm learning that being a black, highly sensitive person might be it. Might be that flag. Maybe I should throw in introverted, even though most, not all, but most highly sensitive people are tend to be introverts. But I'm trying to go through this book called Highly Sensitive Male, and it's kind of difficult because it's kind of difficult because I'm on this journey to finding my authentic self, and there's a lot of fucking obstacles in the ways. And some of them is, yo, it's bullshit. Don't know. There is your authentic self. I spent a lot of time repressing my authentic self for survival reasons. And now I'm doing a 180 degree. I'm doing a turn back and saying, yo, all that shit we told ourselves about our authentic self is bullshit. Now, I know I initially told you to bury that motherfucker. Now it's time to undig it. And there's a lot of my authentic self is behind like a very thick wall that I spent 40 plus years enforcing. Anyways, yeah, shame and all kinds of shit. So it's just been difficult getting into the authentic version of myself. It's a journey. It's a motherfucking journey. That's the point where I'm getting at. Anyway, so with that said, I was just thinking about how, what is this? There we go. Highly sensitive people. I still feel the shame. It still bothers me to say I'm sensitive because it's always been negative. Or one, especially as a man, what the fuck you mean you're sensitive? You know what I mean? The only time as a man it's okay to say that you're sensitive, according to the rules of the cult of masculinity, is when you're trying to get laid. Like Ralph Tresvant. Now, I don't know. I don't know if Ralph Tresvant was being authentic, sincere in that song, but I do know when that song Sensitivity came out, it became a high five to Ralph Tresvant. Oh, it's like, oh, it was the equivalent of learning about negging. Okay, negging is a technique fuckboys use to basically, you know, if you want to pick up women, one of the strategies that you were given is to, you were told about is negging. Is basically, it's a psychological game you play against the woman you're interested in, and it's basically, okay, When they talk about game, everything I was told about game, about being picking up women, it's fucking conning. That's everything I was told was just being a con artist. And when Ralph Tresvant came out with the song Sensitivity, it was just another tool, a new tool to throw into the repertoire. Tell these bitches that you are sensitive. When I say bitches, I mean you have no regard for this woman that you're trying to sleep with. So yeah, telling women that you were being sensitive. And yeah, I remember how it was just the definition of sensitivity that Ralph Tresvant sang about is completely different than the sensitivity that I'm talking about right now. So, okay, I'm proud of myself, patting myself on the back that I remembered to put this in the show notes. Psychology Today's definition of highly sensitive person. I played it on the previous episode, but I'm going to play it again because also it's a reminder for myself. It goes, highly sensitive person, or HSP, is a term coined by psychologist Elaine Aron. Blah, blah, blah. Shout out to Elaine Aron. According to Aron's theory, HSPs are a subset of the population who are high in a personality trait. It's very important to remember. High in a personality trait known as sensory processing sensitivity, or SPS. It's a lot of motherfucking acronyms. Those with high levels of SPS display increased emotional sensitivity, stronger reactivity to both external and internal stimuli, pain, hunger, light, noise, and complex inner life. The way I've been describing it, or the way I understand it is, look, it's not just sensory overload, but like light is bright. Not for me in particular, but if you fall into that category of highly sensitive, being a highly sensitive person, light is probably brighter than other people are used to. Sounds, okay, the five senses. Sounds, taste, touch. Okay, what are the five senses? Touch, sound, sight. Touch, sound, sight. Taste. And smell, yes, smell. I don't know if this is a trait of being a highly sensitive person, but if you're a person who, if you're a person who eats with your mouth open, that shit drives me fucking nuts. Like, I want to go to war with you for it. And here's the thing is, I've dealt with a person who's like kindest human being on earth, and they chewed with their mouth open, and it drove me nuts. I love this person while, actually, my mother was like that, actually. You love them while you love them while they're inflicting pain in you. It's not pain, but it was just, I remember, someone would eat with their mouth open, and I'm like, you guys ain't hearing that shit? This shit ain't fucking bothering you? No, I'm the only one. I gotta speak up. I gotta tell this motherfucker to close your fucking mouth before I choke you to death. I guess because of this, because of your highly sensitive person, because of this sensory processing sensitivity, every once in a while you tend to step out of the norm. So as a man, if you feel I feel music intensely, like, I used to love songs, but I wouldn't tell other fellas that because according to the rules of the cult of masculinity, men are supposed to have emotions and enjoy that kind of shit. But I did. But I hid a lot. I shielded it's funny. I went through life trying to hide the fact. Oh my God. 360 degrees, I'm about to wrap this up. It's exactly like being a 6'1", 300-pound black male. I've been trying to hide. But people have always seen me. People have always acknowledged me. I've had to work around that. I've tried to go through life hiding the fact that I was a sensitive person. But motherfuckers, the only person I was deceiving was my own self, but people just saw it. I remember this one sister, she said, yo, fuck. And she said, damn, you're soft. And that pissed me off when she said that, but she was fucking right. Like, she saw through me and saw that sensitivity, and she was like, yeah, damn, you're soft. And I remember the way she just said it, like, matter of fact. Like, she didn't, It wasn't like I'm trying to diss you. It was just, it just came out like, if I was wearing Axe body weight, it's like, damn, you smell. Like, she just, the way she acknowledged it. But I remember taking it like an insult, but she was just acknowledging it. You know what I'm learning about being a highly sensitive person? It's not being highly sensitive that's the problem. It's being in denial of it. That's the problem. Those are the people you got to be careful. Those are the people walking through life getting ready to, like, either off themselves or off someone else over some little shit. Off some, you know, you chew like that again. I'm exaggerating. But it's, I'm on a journey to making peace with that shit. I remember, I don't know what came first. I don't know. I honestly, I can't remember, but I just remember thinking of the song, being a situation where I was thinking of Ralph Tredvin's song, Sensitivity, and it just sent me on a series of thought on my journey into accepting the fact that I'm a sensitive person. Sorry. I'm laughing at the idea of the one moment, when that song came out, and the one time I was willing to accept the fact that I could be a sensitive person was around then, but telling myself, yeah, that's bullshit, Tresvant. These chicks don't want sensitivity. At least not my version of it, but sorry, I the shit's just making me laugh. All right. I'm about to give myself a little pat on the back because this concludes today's episode, and I'm at the 1 hour mark. 1 hour mark, 10 seconds. Okay, with the intro song, it's going to be a little longer for you guys by 1 minute. But for me, all right, I respected my time. And I'm going to end the story. I'm going to end there because I got some work to do later on. I got to apply for some gig. And that's the reason why I'm beefing with myself, because it's a lot of fucking work. But at least I don't have to be. Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys aren't my psychiatrist. You're not my therapist. Why am I telling you all this shit? But this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Episode 064. I think I'm gonna call this one "A Man Like Me." Yeah, and whatever. Yeah, and holler at me on right now for Twitter. You can find me at my account is either at @bblizzak. Yeah, you can find me on the internet on Twitter using the at @bblizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Or if you're old school Generation X like me, you can go to my website and go to the website shutuppodcast.com. Hey, if you know shit about, is it called SEO? Basically, how to get Google. I guess I could Google that shit myself, figure this out. But if you can help a brother out, how to get Google to show my fucking website when someone types Shut Up Podcast, that'd be appreciated. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. That's fucking, that's so Generation X of myself to talk about my website and my email address. But what is new school is you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website, the same website where you can find the show notes that I keep talking about. Or you can find me, find this podcast on Google or Apple Podcasts. I'm working on getting it out there on other platforms, but I just came to terms with the fact that I'm a black HSP. So, you know, it's going to take time, man. It's fucking taking time for me to treat this podcast like a real motherfucking podcast. Yo, thank you for listening. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.